Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Hey, that's my man.
Wow, it's amazing, buddy.
Yeah, my dad actually did something worthwhile for me. He's a good study partner.
Look, we're really sorry to hear about your dad, man.
So you okay?
Guys, I'm fine. Hey, I'm the lucky one. My dad died. I walked away with a scratch.
Welcome back to part two with your Narbos and Broomheads crew. And we are reviewing this week. This is a follow-up to last week, and we're doing part two of We Are the World. Do They Know It's Christmas? That's the charity single. That's not it either. Even though Bono says about people starving, he goes, thank God it's them instead of you, which is kind of weird, Bono.
But like, say a prayer. Pray for the other one.
I don't think it's that one. Candle in the Wind, but not the Marilyn Monroe one in 1997 when he sang it about Elton John sang it about Princess Di.
When he just maybe rewrote the lyrics like in a day for Princess Diana, the worst.
Yeah, he did like. When we were kids making up names to song, like we're making up our own lyrics to songs. So it was the 90s were crazy if you weren't there. it wasn't that. We're sending our love down the well.
That's a great one.
No, it wasn't that. It was actually Tears Are Not Enough. part two. So, yeah, welcome back, everybody. I guess we'll see who's out there. What charitable souls are out there?
Who are you?
I'm sorry. I'm Ted. And yeah, I'm going to say WOD 3. Follow the clues in this podcast to find where I am on the internet under the guise of Say WOD 3. So mysterious. So I'm Ted. I'm going to be your host this evening or today or whenever you're listening to this. Let's pop it over to that baritone voice gentleman over in Toronto.
I got to go second again. Hi, everybody. Alan on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. We are at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to write to us. Go give us a review if you want. If you've joined us and you've only heard Degrassi, The Next Generation, we go all the way back. We started a year and a few months ago at the very beginning of Degrassi Junior High. So head back to episode one and work your way through it again if you'd like to. And that's all I'm going to say.
Or for the first time, if it's news to you that there's older Degrassi.
What?
Series, yeah.
Yeah, well, now you've learned something from us. And mm-hmm. Who is that just jumped in there from Regina? Who are you?
It's me. It's Arlo from Regina, Saskatchewan. And you can follow me on Instagram @ARLOESCOTT. And Yeah, that's about it for me. And we got one more joining us way over on the East Coast.
Hi, it's me. It's me. It's Barry. See how that rhymes? Let's talk more about We're Sending Our Love Down the Well. I want to talk about that. So Sting did that one. Who else was in that
he
band?
He did.
Remember?
Wasn't the Capital City Goofball one of the singers?
I think so.
Yes. I believe Krusty the Clown was involved.
Oh, mm-hmm. He sure was. I'm actually, yeah. I'm putting Sending Our Love Down the Well and looking up images. Mm-hmm. And I am looking at the cast right now. We had Dr. Marvin Monroe is in there. Nice. We had Rainier Von Wolfcastle. Sideshow Mel. Lionel Hutt. Or sorry, Troy McClure.
Troy McClure.
Okay. Mayor Quimby.
Was Bumblebee Man there?
He is not in this photo. The Capital City Goofball is there. The guy, I forget what his name is, the stunt guy that encouraged Bart to jump over the ravine.
What was his name?
Mm.
Yeah. Chicks Dig Scars.
Yeah. yeah, and so...
I don't remember.
And I think there was the exotic dancer that Homer got into trouble with in like one of the early seasons.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That where Bart took the pictures
the
of him.
Dancer, yeah.
Yeah, she is also in it. So
Homer Simpson, Party Animal, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and then it gets knocked off the charts by Funky See Funky Do?
It did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
So that's our Simpsons reference for the evening. Yeah. So I'm Barry. You can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Yes.
We went through the last episode and we didn't even talk once about vaccinations and COVID and how everyone's doing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our listeners need to know what's going on. This is like a time capsule, not only of Degrassi, but of the COVID pandemic in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where's everybody? Where's the Toronto man that we know as Alan? Where are you? How close are you to the second?
As of Monday, as of this moment, with the rules as they are, this coming Monday, I will be 5 weeks until I can get my next shot. And apparently, I can just choose which one I get. So
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, I was one of the few in this country that got AstraZeneca. So Courtney, I believe, also did as well. She is not here tonight. RIP.
I was going to say, is that why she's not here? Sorry, Courtney.
Yeah.
Send your cards and letters in, please.
Yeah.
Condolences.
Yeah, please. Full addresses and credit card numbers, please.
And we'll have our picture up on the screen at the Potty Awards, which I'm assuming that we'll be a part of, the Canadian Potties, or maybe the North American Potties. I don't know. Yeah.
So, yeah, they said it has to be 12 weeks for AstraZeneca people. But, of course, the other dose or the other vaccines you can get after like three or four weeks. So I have and then in Manitoba, they don't give a shit. So I have friends who were vaccinated with AstraZeneca the same like day as me. Who are now getting vaccinated like next week because they're just like, fuck how long it takes. Like, just put the needles in.
Get her done. Get her done.
So that's where we are.
Take whatever you are offered first.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
So, yeah.
How about you, Arlo? What's going on in the vagin of Canada?
The schedule says, based on when, like the date that I got mine, I should be eligible to get my second jab on July 5th.
So before nice. Me. Great.
If it goes the way that they think it's going to go, I guess, as long as vaccine supply doesn't dry up or whatever.
How about over there?
I assume because Canada has said that it's okay to mix vaccines, I can get either Pfizer or Moderna.
Yeah.
But I think the majority of the vaccines that we've been getting is Pfizer, so I'll probably just get another Pfizer.
It's up to your province, so they have to make that decision, but we know what Saskatchewan thinks about science, so I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to get whatever you want.
I mean, we are leading in vaccines, though, to our credit.
Yay!
I mean, like, we're 77% of people over the age of 40 vaccinated at this point.
Good job.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's better than what's going on in Manitoba. 77% of those 40 plus and 66% of those 30 plus so far.
Nice. Yeah, here we're in the 70% of total population vaccinated. I got my first on May 18th, and they gave me an appointment on September 7th. But they're saying now, for number two, but they're saying now that they're probably going to move up the second dose by 8 weeks. So that would bring me in early July, I would think, assuming that holds true.
Well, it can't come soon enough for me because I actually was given my return to work date this week by by the city. To actually go have to be back to the office. So I'm anxious to get my second shot. Yeah.
I was saying, Newfoundland's opened it all up, too. In July 1st, they're opening travel to anybody who's been vaccinated. You can come without having to isolate.
I don't know, man. I read about the India variant today, and apparently those who are only one shot, you're only 33% protected against that variant. So, and it's already in Ontario. So... I read it and I was like, that's so doomsday. I don't want that information. But here I am walking around with my first jab, thinking that it's like it's quite effective, right? Because it is about against the original one. But yeah, apparently that science says only 33% against the India variant. So it's like a race to get that second jab.
You heard it first.
Yeah,
India variant.
I'm gonna give you the bad news.
India variant, bad bitty.
Bad bitty.
Mm-hmm. It's official. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine is bumped up, same thing. Like, I was supposed to have it. I have mine on May 12th, the first one, and my second one is supposed to be September 1st, but I'm with Barry, I suspect. I would say early to mid-July, I'm hoping. Yeah. Hopefully.
We could all get it at the same time, and then we could do the podcast in August as friends in person. We can all hug each other finally.
Seance style, hold hands around the table and talk about how an eggplant and plums make a penis and pills. That's right. It'll be good. All right. So COVID updates out of the way. Introductions out of the way. Are we ready to jump in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Okay. This is going to be quite the episode, methinks. The air date was February 23rd, 2003. I think that was the Canadian date. I could totally make it up and say the American date was April 1st, 2003. Nobody's going to look that up. Nobody's going to at me.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't look that up, unless anybody wants to correct me.
August 29th.
Oh, thank you. That was a good guess.
It's generally about six months later.
Actually, it was in August of 2003.
So, thank you.
Thank you. These are very important dates because when it aired in Canada, I was still living in Winnipeg, but when it aired in the U.S., and so was Arlo. And when it aired in the U.S., we were living in Ottawa. So that's very important time in people's lives that you're glossing over, Mr. Insensitive.
That's me. Follow me, Mr. Insensitive, on the Instagram machine. So this one was directed by Mr. Phil Earnshaw, who directed the last episode as well. And jumping in, who is this? Is this Sully or Sullivan? What is this guy's name again?
Yeah, this is Sully.
So Sully, we see the opening of the TV school announcements, and we see Sully telling the school the dance committee has first paired off to transform the gym into a Hawaiian surf paradise. So they're setting up for the gym. Setting up the gym to be,
When we last saw Sully, he was trying to buy Drake's stolen MP3 player. So
wearing sunglasses inside. Mm-hmm.
So it's not stolen. And what the spinner say? He was like, he just stalled.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, fine, I'll buy it.
Sully's like, you know what? $120, I don't give a shit.
Now, is this our last Sully experience?
No, it is not.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
It is not. We will see Sully again.
So, maybe not in this episode. So Snake shuts off the monitor, and he looks like he's going to barf. And he announces to the class, in front of the class, that Craig's father has died over the weekend in a car accident. He's pretty tore up about it. And he says that he won't be back. Craig will not be back for the rest of the term. And Ashley offers to take up a collection to send flowers. And it's a very, there's some moving music.
Is this something that does, does this kind of thing get announced to class? I'm just curious.
I would say
the information would obviously get around, you know? Like, people would be like, well, where's Craig? And Ashley would be like, well, his dad died. And people would be like, oh. But, like, is this, like, do schools actually announce things like this, like, to a class? Or is there, like, privacy?
No, like, a teacher would.
Okay.
When I was in grade 7, a guy in my class, his mom died. And they pulled out, like, 6 of us and told us. And they were like, we're telling you because you're friends with him. And I was like, we're not friends.
And then you rip the armpit first. We're our friends. Alan, go back to class.
Yeah, yeah.
Later.
But, yeah, but anyway, so they told what the one time I can remember it, they told like a handful of us, but that was it. But like it's a little weird that he would announce to everybody because there's people in there who don't know Craig or don't care about Craig. But I guess that's, I don't know. What are you gonna do?
I mean, it's kind of a tough call whether you announce it or not, I guess. The only thing I remember that type of thing happening was when a girl at my school actually died from meningitis, which was really sad. I didn't know her, but I remember there being an announcement about that.
I guess you kind of have to do that, right? When
she
just disappears.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't recall ever having a mass announcement that someone's parent had passed away, but...
I'm not surprised that Snake is torn up because one, it's his student, but secondly, you would imagine that, and he has, right? He spent time with Joey, who's his friend, and so Craig will be around. So, I mean, you would assume that Snake is probably aware, like, about what's happening with Craig and his dad in the first place. I'm sure Joey told him.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. He's like, I haven't been this sad since I spent that summer not fucking.
So. Yeah. Almost died of blue balls.
Yeah.
You kids know what that is? Mr. Simpson got to get him some. They're like, what? And Craig's going to be out, but nope. Craig comes strolling into class, and he can't seem to understand. He says he can't seem to understand just by the look of his face, what's going on, that he can't understand why everyone stops and stares. And Snake says that he wasn't expecting him. Craig says it's not summer holidays yet. So he is really doubling down on the,
Craig could have literally looked at everybody's face in the class and been like, who died? And sat down. You know, he's jovial, he's joking. And Snake the teacher.
He's unusually cheerful.
Yeah, and Snake the teacher is like, this is fine.
It's funny you mention that because I had noted Craig sits down in the class with a smile on his face, bobbing his head, and he becomes the real life meme of that dog in a burning house that says, this is fine.
This is fine. Yep.
He is that meme.
That's my Zoom background for meetings.
Nice. Yeah, so the house has caught on fire, and we have the opening.
The last time we have to hear it this way.
Oh, that's a little celebration. That's,
I know I can make it through.
That's nice, and I legit
be
don't know
best.
What the oh there it is.
If I do.
I don't know, Alan, do you have the meter? I guess, can you see the like the greens on your side, like the levels, and it just all goes red? Like,
be the best! No.
So we have that beautiful opening, and does anybody want to say something to the opening that we say for those who have passed before us?
We hardly knew ye.
There you go. That's right. So, the opening, and we're in the gym where the students are creating a Hawaiian backdrop for the dance. It's on the floor. They're painting it. Paige comes over and gives...
A giant backdrop.
That's a big old piece of butcher paper.
Is this during school?
First period, fine. They're allowed to do it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Sully laid the work.
Mm-hmm. Best first period ever, I guess. Like,
I mean, let's be honest. If you were in that grade and they let you out to decorate the gym for first period, would you actually go to the gym and decorate, or would you fuck off somewhere else?
Oh,
I mean, I guess they're like, we know they're done exams, right? So it's like that week between exams and being done school. Like, there's nothing to do.
No one's doing shit, yeah.
It's like, you can either do this or you can sit in the class and literally watch the clock. You choose.
You can, quote, study.
Yeah.
Unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Internet search time.
Yeah. Best time. Yeah. And this was a call to, like, anytime this happened in school. Okay, the grade 9 dance committee. Who's on the dance committee? Everybody. They're not really, but they just go, yeah, sir, I'm on the dance committee. It's like, I never saw you there. It's like, no, it's true. And it just, the classrooms would empty out.
Also, we're going to have a lot of discussion about the and who's attending this dance. And yet, it appears that it's grade 9 specifically who are selected to decorate the gym.
No. Yeah. That's not how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're also apparently the most popular students ever, based on, you know, the votes for Luo, King, and Queen, we find out. So
I love how they're like, this school is, you know, 7 to 11. First of all, we're the grade 12s. Like, I guess they don't go to the dance. Secondly, have we seen a single grade 10 or 11 student at Degrassi, like, ever?
I've seen a couple people in the background that seemed a little bit too old to be there. And I'm like, it takes me a second. I'm like, what, like, is that a college kid in the background? And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's supposed to be grade 11s and 12s.
Oh no, that's just the guy holding the boom mic.
Get out of the shot.
I'm a student.
Yeah. The only time they even reference is one when Fariza's thing got vandalized and they said it was a grade 11 student that did it.
Oh, or yes. 10 or... That's right. The racist grade 10s, the whole grade.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Paige gives Ashley a cash donation for the flowers for the funeral. And we see Radish talking to Craig, telling him he doesn't need to come back to school so soon. So he's having a little heart-to-heart with old Craigor. Ashley and Terry are talking, that, and Ashley says she wishes she could do something for Craig, but Terry says that she can't, just advising Ashley on it. Not really. She knows firsthand because her mother died, and I guess the band, like the Degrassi band, was in the gym, and the guy with the trumpet just went, wah, wah. Okay. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, Terry.
They're all like, always with your mom, Terry.
Well, and Ashley, yeah, of course, doesn't listen to Terry because she never does. She's just like, your advice is shit, Terry.
She's like, how are you going to get a date if you're always talking about your dead mom, Terry?
That's right.
So Radish bounces and Ashley goes to speak with Craig. And Craig just said he was going crazy at Joey's and had to get out. He says he's looking forward to the dance. So this is not kind of matching what Ashley thinks he should be acting like, and he can't think of a reason why he wouldn't go to the dance. So he's really tamping it down here.
I honestly, like, this is a fair point. Like, so people grieve differently, right? Well, like, absolutely. Some people want to be locked in a room by themselves to grieve or whatever, and other people are going crazy being at home, having nothing else to think about. And, like, depending on the kind of person you are, maybe it is the best thing for you to go back to work or go back to school. And, like, I feel like this episode kind of makes you, like, it makes it seem like you're abnormal if you're the kind of person that, like, wants to keep busy.
Yeah. It's a process. Grief is a process.
Ashley expects Craig to act the way she dresses.
Yeah. He wants him to write sad songs in his room with candles.
We cut back to Paige and Hazel talking, and Paige says she's going to end the year on a positive note, and her and Spinner are going to win the Luau King and Queen. And throughout, I do have some notes here, and throughout my notes, I was trying to spell Luau, and I think I'm a decent speller, but I'll tell you how my first try was, it's Luahah. So Luahah, I believe.
Luahah.
So that's, it does get better over time, and I do figure it out. But she's been to the tanning salon in preparation for her win. So Paige believes she has locked up.
Yeah, her strategy here is where they talk about the grades. So apparently this dance goes all the way to grade 11, but Paige says she'll get the 7s to 9s to vote for her. And I'm like, by being like a bitch to them all year? Like, what was your strategy?
Yeah, like, she's oblivious to how terrible of a human being she is.
Yeah.
Like, that's the scary part. It's not that she's a terrible human being. That's bad enough, but she's oblivious that she's a terrible human being that no rational person could ever like.
Of course they'll all vote for me, hun.
hun. Ugh. It hurts me deeply. So, we're Miss Hatzilakos' lab, and Craig is talking to Mrs. H about how well, and she's telling him how well he did on his test. Drake and Marco are sitting in the background. They don't understand how well he is taking the death of his father. Craig ends up with an A+, and then mentions to the boys that his dad was actually did something worthwhile for him. The Latios give their condolences, ask if he's fine, and Craig says he's lucky because he only walked away with a scratch. So this, even I was watching it going, what? You weren't in the car. So
this guy is crazy.
This guy is loony too.
I mean, with like, in the most jovial way, he's like, I'm the lucky one. My dad died. I walked away with the scratch. Like, you shouldn't be here.
You're not well.
Yeah.
And they're Marco and Drake are confused. Nathan said, thought he wasn't in the car. Craig breaks into the dramatic story about it, how was he had his mad dad speeding down the highway and they got into a crash. And guys, I was at Joey's when it happened. Yes. Waka waka.
Psych. Oh, Lord. Psych.
Psych. Yeah. That's right.
It's funny, isn't it, guys? He's dead. Isn't that funny? It's like really fucked up.
Yeah, it is really disturbing.
And again, like, I don't blame Craig. Like, his fucking dad died. But there are teachers and friends, like, everywhere who are just like, all right, crazy.
Yeah. He does a good job. I mean, Jake Epstein does a good job being just unhinged enough in these scenes. Like, I'm down for it.
Do you think that we moved, like, there used to be side characters that were kind of wacky and crazy, like, say, from the old episodes, like Junior High and High, like the Liz and the Claude. And it was kind of like taking their really strange, little bit disturbedness and put it in the spotlight, like put it in the main story.
That's who Craig is. Yeah. They're like, just watch all the crazies from the earlier episodes. That's you, Craig.
So we cut to the hallway. And Drake and Marco are weirded out by Craig, but that Craig was joking about the situation. They find this really strange, which I do too, and I think we all do. Meet up with Spinner on his way to work in the cafeteria, and he's all dressed up in his scrubs, let's say. And Drake jokes about the cafeteria boy not being late. Spinner says he's glad. Drake still has a sense of humor, and Drake dunks on it by saying he's glad he didn't get around to stealing that, which being his sense of humor. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty sharp. That's good.
That was good.
This is to the home listener in the rap world. This is what they're having is called a beef. So just if you're following along at home, that's what that's called. So Spinner says he won't be laughing when him and Paige are voted Luau King and Queen. I spelled it Luaha this time. So I'm coming along. And so Spinner Marco leave. Drake is there by himself and he spies Hazel. And he walks up to Hazel. He's very Rico Suave. And asked her about the dance. He goes, the dance. You still going solo? Because you're not anymore. So he's
that Drake swagger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's got the... And Also, you following along at home, that's right, that's called swagger. So, well done, Drake. Drake says that he could even that they could even win the crown, but she has hesitations as Paige is aiming for the crown as well. Drake says to think about it. So Hazel is hesitating because Paige is going for it and she doesn't want to compete, but he just says think about it.
Yeah, she's like an ultimately like as bad a person as Paige, so you know she's gonna go for it.
Of course. I don't know why she
has no
go,
she has yep. no loyalty. Come on.
No. Exactly. So we head to the computer lab where Toby is adding Drake and Hazel to the luau, actually spelled properly because it was on the screen, the luau meter. And I paused it and went L-U-A-U. So I believe I spell it correctly in my notes from now on. So the luau meter, so he's adding them. Okay, so enter Paige and Spinner. Paige is, of course, pissed since she is running and is the only one from grade 9. But now with Hazel, Hazel's another student from grade 9. Spinner claims that they're splitting the vote because we find out here there's about 20 couples running.
Yeah, there's 20 couples in total, but none in the grade 9, so there's now a second one. And yeah, yes. Spinner says they're splitting the vote like he knows what that means. Like
this is what I was very surprised. I was like, Spinner, where the hell is that coming from? Yeah, like splitting the vote. Like that's an actual term and a methodology. Like you don't know that.
No.
You're a big sweaty guy.
Yeah.
You wash your armpits in the fountain. Like, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we focus back on Kendra and Toby, who are still in the lab. Kendra says she doesn't know why anybody would want to go for this. Toby nonchalantly, not thinkingly, says, "Kind of not a cliche, but he said that's why I love you to Kendra," and then he backs it up and says, "like," which is
I really like
she,
you.
She looks at him completely nonplussed.
Kendra
knows what she got.
Kendra's speaking for all of us when she's like, "Who gives a fuck about the luau king and queen?" Like, yes, you are the audience.
Mm-hmm. So we have Greg and Joey. We have Craig and Joey.
Oh, sorry. Can you hold on for a sec? Sorry.
Please. So we have Craig and Joey pulling up to Craig's father's house. They enter and Craig heads upstairs. Joey spies.
There's a for sale sign on the lawn.
What? Yes. Thank you. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, so does Craig get the money from the house? Does he get all the stuff? Like,
well, I'll tell you,
does Arlo, it go into a trust? His dad was like a surgeon with a big fancy mansion house.
Yeah, like when I
Craig
bought
just
my
have
house.
The house? Could Joey and Craig and Angela move into the house instead of selling it?
That's actually the spinoff, right? Craig, Joey, and Angela just move into Craig's dead dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think when you buy houses too, when you have a showing, there's still the dead man's breakfast leftovers on the table. Yeah, sure. You're like, this place looks good. You got waterfront.
The what? Fucking bed is still unmade from when he got out the day he died. Yeah.
Yep. Died last night, sold the next night.
I mean, it's a very desirable neighborhood.
You know what? Rod Peeler would sell that house in a heartbeat.
No.
Yeah.
Rod the Bod Peeler.
Yeah. It's a Winnipeg reference,
yeah, so
everybody.
Joey goes
it's
again.
A very Winnipeg reference. For the audience.
Yes, yeah. it's worth mentioning. Just Google Rod Peeler real estate.
Yes.
And I don't think you will be disappointed. You can't be. Scientifically, you can't be disappointed. So we have Joey going into the house. And again, like there's breakfast leavings on the table, I guess from his father who died. And so Craig's upstairs. We cut to him. He has some mild auditory hallucinations about his father. Like he hears him. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like talking about going to anger management.
And I came at you like a belt. with a belt like I'm Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Remember when I did that last episode? So we're at the funeral, and the hallucinations kind of segue over into the priest speaking, and he's giving his sermon. And he calls up one of Craig's dad's coworkers, Dr. Stephen Whatley.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts to starts to talk about things that he's good at. He's a great surgeon, great squash player, and a dedicated father.
He could really smash the shit out of that ball. Like, who knew, right, Craig?
Like, where would you get that wrist strength?
That backhander he had playing squash.
Jesus.
He had a killer backhander. I wish it had to keep going like that.
Yeah.
Like, he'd smack the shit out of that ball. Like an owed him money. And Craig's like, what? What the shit? So Dr. Whatley starts to drill down on how good a father Craig's father was, and we see the quick unraveling, I would say slow unraveling, but the rather quick unraveling of Craig, and he starts to laugh, and he starts to lose it, and starts to go kind of Joker styles, like he's had a dose of Smilex. And yeah, he's starting to lose it.
So on one side of Craig, we've got Joey. Sitting behind Joey is Mr. Raddich. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I buy that. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, who's sitting
we're
on...
All thinking this, we're all thinking this, I think.
Go for it. Someone go for it.
Why the fuck is Caitlin there? Why?
Caitlin makes it like her cameo. We haven't seen Caitlin since the start of the season. Was she at the fucking... Yeah, she was at the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now we haven't seen her. But she's at Craig's funeral, or Craig's funeral, Craig's dad's funeral, so...
Like, doesn't she live in L.A.? She flew in for fucking Craig's dad's funeral?
There's been no indication that, like, Caitlin and Joey are talking or communicating on any consistent basis, yet she flies in for this funeral for this kid that Joey's looking after only for the last 6 months. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
You think she's in the pew going, I live in L.A.? I'm not from here.
I didn't have to be here, you know.
I didn't actually have to be here. I know Joey, but that's it, really. Like, I have to go. I was on a magazine. You know, do you know? Do you know me?
When I used to live here. Planet,
I'm Caitlin's planet.
I was going out with Joey once, and he fucked this other girl all summer long.
Tessa Campanelli, have you heard of her? She's a bitch.
I don't even know who the fuck this guy is.
Because that makes about as much sense as fucking Caitlin being there.
So Joey...
You know why she was there. And I mean, you have to go back and listen to last week's episode to remember when we discussed this. She's like, wait a second. Right before he died, he was at the bistro? Do you know what happened to my dad? When he was at that the French version of that restaurant? Shit, dude. I gotta go to that funeral.
I'm from LA.
She's like, it's almost the same. Your dad got crushed in a car, and my dad crushed puss after he went to the restaurant. Oh my
God. And he played squash too.
He did.
Yeah. Maybe your dad was squash buddies with this guy, and that's why she's there.
Oh, maybe.
There you go.
No. Oh, it's canon now.
Yeah.
One can dream. Mm-hmm. So Joey takes Craig outside the church, and they have a little heart-to-heart. They have a chat, and Craig says, bum, 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 he's glad he's dead. So he's not accepting it. Or maybe he is. I don't know.
I mean, he has conflicting emotions, which is normal. Right? I think when someone who is abusive to you passes away, it's not as easy as being like sad that they died. Like, there's a lot of conflicting emotions. And yes. I mean, that's true whenever anybody passes away. Like, rarely is it just grief. There's guilt and anger, and, you know, sometimes in the case of a long illness, there's relief. and like all of those emotions in like the body of a teenage boy. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have Ashley and Ellie at the lockers who are back in school. They're talking about the funeral weirdness. And yeah, that he wasn't upset. He was laughing. Weirdness. Enter Craig, and he's looking forward to the dance like a real weirdo. Craig has also put Ashley and himself in for the running for the king and queen of the luau. I don't know. Whatever it is. I probably spelled it correct. I didn't write down luau.
L-O-U-O-W. Luau.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you want to just go with Hawaiian surf paradise instead?
That's too many words.
I love how Ashley's talking to Ellie. Ellie's kind of like, I don't know, like, I think it'll be okay. And then he comes up and he's like, hey, we're going to the dance. We're going to run for king and queen. I'm going to my locker. Woohoo! And Ellie's just like, that behavior is normal.
I mean, yeah. To Ellie's credit, like, she sort of says what I'm thinking, which is just, like, people process grief in different ways, basically. Yeah. Like, it's complicated. It's not as easy as, like, people just, like, being sad, and so they act sad. And I feel like Ellie's the only one in this episode that really says that. Like, it's more complicated than that.
This is true. She has a good understanding of that. Well, I mean, just, like,
I mean, as far as a 13-year-old can have. Anyway.
Yes.
Yes.
We're over at the tanning salon, and a berobed spinner, and I looked it up. That is the actual proper terminology. A person wearing a robe is a berobed person, not as opposed to a derobed person. Because I wrote down berobed, and I was like, is that a thing?
Could robed just work, too?
Well, I guess, Professor, I guess I guess my internet searches don't mean anything to you.
I'm just curious.
I quit.
If I'm wearing a robe, could I be robed? I think so.
Well, why don't you be
I'm
robed?
I'm sure be robed is also correct. I don't.
How about underobed?
Yes.
Let's call the whole thing off. An underrobed spinner, and he's at the tanning salon, and apparently he's turned into a wild animal, and he's getting instruction as to how the tanning bed works, and he becomes when he goes in the room, he's freaked out because he's claustrophobic and he doesn't want to pull the lid down on himself and have a casket match of one, which he says he doesn't want that.
I'm not Kamala.
Sorry.
Have you guys ever been tanning?
I was about to ask the same thing. I never have.
No.
I have actually. Tanning either.
Really? I'm the only one? Oh, it's a beautiful It's a beautiful experience. It's so hot in there. But a stand-up one. You pasty, feel better. You feel like you've been in the sun. It's
like
fantastic.
I'm like pasty white. Like since I was like a little kid, like the like trying to get a tan on purpose is like not something that's like, I'm just like a burn and peel kind of person. So
you have two modes, white and red. Like, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. No, for real. So, yeah, I prefer the term lily white, but you could also go with fish belly white. But yeah, like I guess if I went to, I don't know, sun's just always been the enemy. And I recognize it's not real sun, it's artificial sun, but.
Well, I'm the fool for getting into that tanning bed. I did once. I did a couple times, and it feels nice. It's good. It's hot. Anyways, I'd suggest it. Like, on low, or whatever you say, like 5 minutes. I was going down south, okay?
I wonder if it would help me not burn. Like, if I went for artificial tan, it would make me burn less.
I'm sure that if you ask them, they tell you, yes, that is right.
Yes.
Come pay us.
It's a miracle cure.
Yeah, whatever makes you come here.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. Come on down.
I'm paranoid about like getting leathery. Like if you get addicted to tanning and then you get like that leather hide on you, I don't want that.
And it probably smells. Smells like barbecue.
I would think it smells like coconut or something, you know?
All the time.
And I'm Ted at Say Wild 3. I'm throwing over Regina. Let's go leather lady face over there. Let's throw it to her. So we have Paige's a B-robe spinner is still figuring things out. In the tanning salon, Paige is checking out the bodybuilding magazine, looks at the centerfold, and gets all, she's enjoying herself. And we hear screams from the tanning room. Like, I don't even know. This didn't even sound like his voice, like the actor. He was screaming so shrilly.
They got a scream double. And
Spinner runs out and says he can't do it because he's claustrophobic. With these beds, it's just like, it doesn't lock you in there. It's just a thing that you lay down over you. It's not even not even touching you. It's just like you can lift it at any time. And it shows his feet and he's like freaking out. It's like you could just lift it. Just push it up. It's not heavy.
Spinner doesn't know anything.
I'm curious if they continue the Spinner's claustrophobic thing throughout the rest of the series or if it will conveniently be gone in some future.
I'm guessing number two.
Yeah, that would be a good guess.
I also found it interesting that Spinner had a habit of stuffing people in lockers when he's claustrophobic, which is kind of diabolical if he's that claustrophobic about it and finds it that terrifying that he would subject other people to it.
Good point.
I can guarantee you the writers did not think of that.
So we're back in Joey's kitchen and with Craig, and Craig is getting ready and he's wearing one of Joey's tropical shirts. Tell me this, is this the same tropical shirt that was in the cheap commercial that was played in like episode one or two?
The one that he rips off his back?
Yeah, the one that rips off, like, I'll give the shirt off my back. And it looked very similar to that. I didn't go back and watch it, but it was very much like kind of gaudy, tropical shirt.
Listeners, go back and watch that episode and tell us, please. Narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com.
Go ahead, we'll wait.
Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it was the same one. Like, the way that wardrobe departments works and stuff like that, like, they don't just throw away clothes after they've been worn. Like, they go back into the wardrobe department. So I would not be surprised. That would impress me if it was the same one. Mm-hmm.
So Joey wants to know if Craig knows what he's going to say to Children's Aid tomorrow. Because they have a meeting. I would say to... This hasn't really been hashed out, right? It's like who he's going to live with. I guess Joey.
Joey's like, you go talk to Children's Aid. I'll go talk to the realtor about that house. Getting that house money.
His hands together.
Yeah.
Nice house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm your legal guardian, which means I have rights to his estate, right?
A little bit of orange juice and free bread crusts from the morning of his father's last meal. So Craig thinks that Joey doesn't want him to go. Craig wants him to deal with the loss, so he's trying – Joey wants to Craig to deal with loss, but Craig says, I got the dance.
So yeah, this is the part, we mentioned this in the last episode, where Joey reminds Craig that his mom is also dead. It's like, he's like,
thanks for that, Joey.
He's like, no one's fine with losing somebody. I wasn't when your mom died. So that is our reminder that Craig now has zero parents. So... Great. Good job, Joey.
Me, Joey. I was stooping your mom. It's fine.
Yeah. You know how much it sucked for me when your mom died, Craig?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, again, I know Craig is like acting crazy, but I kind of sympathize with him here because like you can't force someone to deal with something as serious as like losing a parent until they're ready to deal with it. And like sometimes you have to compartmentalize and like be like, I'm not ready to deal with this yet. I'm gonna go to the fucking dance and I'm gonna have a fucking good time. I think I'm kind of that person a little bit. Like, I'm not like insane like Craig is and stuff like that and laughing about it or whatever, but I'm very much like a compartmentalized person when it comes to personal grief. So I feel for him in this moment. Like, if he needs to go to a dance and forget about his problems, I don't think that there's anything wrong, crazy or wrong about that.
I think I'd be the same. Like, I haven't gone through it yet, but I can't see myself being like, well, I'm supposed to do nothing because that's what you're supposed to do. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
Well, and it sucks too, because like, you don't want to talk about it, and you're not ready to think about it, you're not ready to talk about it, and every single person in your life is like, are you okay? I'm here for you if you need me. And it's like,
way to really mock the people who are being nice to you.
Like, you appreciate the sentiment, but it's just like, yes, I'm okay right now, and I know that you're there for me when I need you, but right now, that's not what I need from you.
Yes. It's a process. It's not, there's no one way to do it that's proper. And did anybody ever hear this, like the five steps of grief, which is really like kind of calm, I guess, like pop culture-y? Has anybody ever heard that?
Like anger, denial, acceptance, whatever the order. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all.
Bargaining's one of them, right?
Yes.
It was, and two, is none of that's actually true. Parts of it are true, but not to get too like, but what that came out of, it came out of a study in 1969 by this lady, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was her name, and she did an observational study of people who were in palliative care. So they themselves were in a state of dying. And she put together in a book on death and dying, if you want to look it up and have some nice bedside reading. And she wrote about it, and it was just a conglomeration kind of emotions that people were going through. And there was bargaining, and there was like people in denial saying, no, I'm not dying. And there was people who were just angry. So she put all these things together. And as people do, they want a simple answer. But the thing is grief is definitely not a simple answer. It's a very complicated, it's a process. And so what happened was, over the years, people looked at it and said, oh, okay, grief is five steps. And first you're in denial, and it all falls apart. It's not true at all, because it wasn't even the population that she was, it's not people who are in grief. It's people who are dying anyway. Mm-hmm. And
that's really interesting.
And it was like, think about if you've lost someone, have you ever denied it? Like, have you get a phone call, so-and-so has died. No, they didn't.
I think there is actually like a moment of like disbelief.
That's more of the like, I just saw them yesterday, right? Like, that's the reaction. They're dead. Like, I just was talking to them. How can they be dead?
Of course.
Yeah.
And like, what happened was, people just thought that there was these levels, and it's like the human mind is, and emotion is far too rich and complicated to go 1, 2, 3 acceptance, acceptance. Like, it doesn't happen like that. So the biggest thing with grief and in grief counseling is understanding like the process of grief. It is a process, and it's always going back to that baseline saying, it's a process, and sometimes you'll be crazy, sometimes you'll be mad, sometimes you will be these things, but eventually you do get to a point where your living goes back to, and you know, they talk about like the new normal. It's recognizing the new normal, and you may not agree with it, or you may not whatever, but it's kind of getting back into that thing.
like wheels?
Yeah, he did it. He
didn't quite get back there.
He didn't quite get back there. He ended up in the Gray Bar Hotel. Sorry, Wheels. Hardly knew you. Okay. So we're at the dance, and Toby and Kendra are manning the vote machine. Drake and Hazel, they're trying to drum up some votes. They're talking to some people saying, vote for us. Enter Spinner and Paige, and they're all burned up. Well, these pages, and Spinner, I think, has a lot of tanner on himself.
I think he's supposed to look streaky. Like, yeah, you can't, I think they could have made it more obvious, but like, he's supposed to look like he unevenly applied tanning lotion.
Yes. And if Paige was so like wise in her ways of the tanning machine, why did she get, I guess she just amped it up. Like, they won't let you. If you go in and say, well, I haven't done it, or I've only, this is only my second time, they're not going to allow you. Like, they control the board from out in the, or in my experience, they control the board.
Like, Paige can be a real bitch sometimes, man.
Ah, but true.
They're just like, touché. Let her fucking burn herself. Fuck
She's
it.
She's like, hun, I need you to turn this up to 1,000.
And they're like, we don't care. Like, you fuck bitch. It. Yeah. Yeah.
This is like that Deuce Bigelow movie when Buddy gets cooked in the machine. Remember that European gigolo? Remember that? So, but how many times do you need to go to one of these things before, like, you get a good noticeable tan? Because this was like Spinner's first attempt.
Well, he had spray tan.
Yeah, he used like.
He went with spray tan afterwards because he chickened out on the of his claustrophobia.
Yeah.
So, but assuming he didn't go with the spray tan and he went, like, how many times would he have to go before you see a noticeable tan? Just one?
No, it's like.
It's like a dye. Like, it depends on which one you use, right? Like, they come in different.
Oh, you're talking about, they're talking about the actual tanning bed.
If you actually
went to
the because the thought here is, like, how much runway is there before this dance? Like, you got to go a couple of times. And so in their heads, it's like Spinner goes once and he's like, all tan. It doesn't work like that.
Maybe she just wanted him to take, like, the pastiness off, you know?
I would say a tanning bed would take you three or four or five times, like, because you can't go consecutive days. Like, your skin can only handle so much. Like, you have to wait. I think the rule is you have to wait at least 48 hours before the next exposure. So,
can one of our listeners, someone out there, needs to know about tanning? Can you, again, narblesandbroomheads@gmail.com? We want to learn about this. Write us about grief or tanning. Those are the two things that we're.
Come to us, Narbles and Broomheads, for all your grief and tanning needs. Or actually, it's the other way around. You come to us and tell us, because we need it. So we have Paige. Paige accuses them, Drake and Hazel, of making a lame attempt to steal the votes. Drake again, but maybe Spin could try. And Spinner claims that that's ancient history. I think Drake is in the right. Like, if my friend, if I caught him selling my high-end MP3 player, you can dig into that for a while. Like, that's, you got some gas.
It was like three episodes ago. It wasn't ancient history.
Yes.
No.
It was not that long ago.
It's not like it was like at the beginning of grade 7 or something. It was like maybe a couple months ago.
It's like last week.
Yeah.
So we have Spinner and Paige dancing, and he fires up the robot, the bad robot. Oh, yeah. Paige shuts it down. Yeah, it's really bad.
So
it's like,
there are literally female students walking around in bikini tops, and I'm just like, this would not be approved for a dance.
No, they have like coconut fucking bras and
Yeah.
I also Spinner's an idiot, and that's always the running joke that he does this robot dance, right? So he tries to start it, and Paige wants him to stop, but she's like, being Paige-ish with him. And I'm like, wasn't this like a tender moment when she asked him to go to the dance with her?
Yes, and they were supposed to have fun.
Yeah, and all of a sudden she's a fucking pain in the ass again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't get anything with Paige consistently here.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. That was the whole premise of them going to dance. Should be just like, you just figure it should be just kind of quiet and just relaxing and talking. But she's like, don't do that. We got to win. Ugh.
And then, speaking of like shit from previous episodes, then we get the one like 10-second scene where we see that JT and Liberty are at the dance. And that's it. That whole fucking storyline from the last episode.
Yeah.
We do see them dancing together later, which I appreciated.
Uh-huh. That's it.
They're like Jar Jar Binks. They're all in the first movie and then barely in the rest.
Oh, man. That was a travesty. Uh-huh. Loved it. Should have been all Jar Jar. The second one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Raymond Jar Jar. See, I can't even do that voice because that's like, that's probably.
That's problematic.
That's a problematic voice. Yeah.
I mean, what was worse, the Jar Jar accent or the fucking, what was it, the not the Gungan,
the Viceroy, is it?
The Gungans were bad. The fucking guy that the guy that owns the shop that you know, the slave keeper. Watto. You know, we know what they're going for there.
I can't
my God. And then the Trade Federation. We know what they're going for there.
Yeah.
That's three in a row. I can't even do from a blockbuster movie. I can't even do an accent because I go, no, that's inappropriate.
You
they even do with the exact accent that they used in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's terrible.
It's not even terrible. The accent. It's the things that they say, right? Like, I will say it without an accent where he's like, what is it? That Jedi stuff doesn't matter here. Only money.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No. It was so bad.
Yeah. Fucking worst movie.
It's ancient history. No, it wasn't that long ago.
Nope.
C'est terrible. We see Emma. We're kind of panning around the dance. So as you said, we saw JT and Liberty. They're grabbing their coconut drinks in the bar. Emma and Sean are doing the limbo. And Marco and Ellie are having fun and taking pictures. Craig meets up with Ashley and comments her on her cool goth luau look.
I'm just like, come on, Ashley.
Even the even the thing.
Suck it. Like, just wear a fuck. Like, you don't have to be the fucking luau goth. Like, just put on a fucking grass skirt or something. Fuck.
Wow.
I dyed it in my sink. It's like, okay. Okay, that's true, because
like it's not cute, it's just lame. It's lame how much fucking effort you're putting into this to not fucking like and don't get me wrong, I like goth fashion, but I'm just like, can you not just for one?
I liked it. I don't know about anyone else. I was a fan.
Not sure how Arlo feels, though.
It's just trying so hard. It's trying so hard.
So you're telling me that somebody who, like, goes out of their way to dress all black, dye their hair black, do makeup every single day is trying hard? Is that what... Is that the lesson here?
That's the lesson.
They try hard every day. Lots of people do.
We do know... Spoiler alert, we do know Ashley keeps this style right throughout the whole series, so...
So Craig meets up with Ashley, comments on the goth luau. We already went through that. Craig invites her to limbo. But before they can do that, Snake takes over the mic and is about to announce the king and queen of the luau. Ted spelling it correctly in his notes by this time.
And Snake looks like a zookeeper.
He does. Yeah. He's like, yeah, he's got the pith helmet. I think he does.
Is he got a big staff too?
Yeah.
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 Maybe he's more like Kim Chi, the handler of Kamala.
Yes. Uh-huh.
AKA the Brooklyn Brawler.
That's right.
As deep cut for all you wrestling fans out there. Okay. So, yeah. And he takes over that microphone. And who is the king and queen of the luau? It is Ashley and Craigor.
And I am totally shocked. Like, you know, they didn't show it, but you know Paige is saying to Spinner, he only won it because his dad fucking died.
Definitely,
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's the truth, too, I would say.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Like, that's a cut scene, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pan over of Spinner, Paige, Hazel, and Drake, and they're not happy, and they're kind of accepting it that they've lost. Uh-oh, Craig sees someone in the crowd.
Oh, can I say it? Can I say it? Can I say it?
Yes, please.
More chance. He looks across the gym, and he sees somebody in the crowd, and what is he doing? He's doing two things. Ted, do you want to guess?
No, I can't even imagine.
On his face, he's got a big smile, and he is giving a wave.
Yes, yep. That is the sixth time in this episode. Smile and wave, a hit by the headstones. Hugh Dillon, a.k.a. Craigor's daddy. And he does that. And he's smiling and waving, and he wanders into the crowd because... He thinks he sees his father.
He's like, are you Bill Cosby? Because I'm seeing a ghost dad.
You said meep meep.
Greg and me. Yeah, so we don't want Bill Cosby at a junior high dance.
No, we don't. He's like, nice drink, Greg.
Can I freshen it up for you?
Jesus.
So
canceled.
He wades through the crowd and saying, "Dad, look, I won." And he grabs this man who just has glasses and is a man and turns him around like there's, and he has a suit on.
Yes.
So it's not your dad. Yeah,
he's a teacher.
Mr.
Boyth. Was it? Yeah, I think it was Boyth. I rewound and he goes that he puts that on it. So I think
Mr. Boyth.
Mr. Boyth, like if you look at, I've rewound a couple times, and he goes, "It's not Mr. Boyd."
I thought it was Boyce, but maybe this is just because I knew a girl who had a last name of Boyce when I was in school.
Really?
Apparently,
we knew Boyds.
Lisa Boyce.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, does not have a credit, or am I looking at the wrong episode?
No,
I'm looking at it. No credit, uncredited, Mr. Boyth.
If they in these newer episodes, if they don't speak, not credited. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any fucking ACTRA. obligations to them if they have no lines.
All right.
But you guys are having a better evening than Craig is because he's outside the dance on the steps. Ashley comes out and tells Craig they're waiting for them to dance because they are the Luau King and Queen. Ashley says she knew it was a mistake for him to come to the dance because it's too soon after the loss of his father. And Craig totally loses it, and he just wants to dance, and he loses his mind. He's sick of everyone being so concerned, and he goes crazy on the background that the kids were drawing. I think it was the same one that they were drawing to put on the wall, the mural for the Luau dance. So he just goes footloose on it.
Oh yes, I had that ready to go.
Yeah,
that reference.
It is though, isn't it?
That's my favorite thing in this whole episode. It's supposed to be the super sad scene, and it's like fucking Kevin Bacon when he goes dancing in the warehouse, and then
100%, he mad dances.
Yeah, it's a fucking amazing. They have him like doing a backflip off the stage, and then they replay it 3 times.
And look side to side and side to side and side to side and face the camera.
Yep.
So Radich says let him go, he'll go cool off.
Radich wants nothing to do with this. Radich is like,
Radich is watching.
No.
We actively see him run away from a situation coming surely.
Well, the last time that Craig was in a state and ran away, he played chicken with a train and wanted to hop on a bus to British Columbia while abducting a child. Radich is like, let him go. Let's see what happens.
This is fine.
Yeah.
Terry's got this.
Yeah.
So that kid is crazy. Craig goes off and he wonders what's wrong with him. And Terry shows up. He's in the hallways. And he says, what's wrong with me? And Terry says, nothing is wrong with you. You're angry and sad. Craig says it's supposed to be his night, so it's kind of a back and forth. Terry tells her story, womp, womp, that she was at a birthday party when she found out her mom died, and that she now has guilt for it, but she feels guilty because she wanted to play pin the tail on the donkey when she was a kid. So there's a little heart to heart there.
When I was a kid, I knew that game sucked.
You were in the 90s as a kid, because this is in 2003.
Yeah.
There was awesome games. Look, there was friggin' Nintendo, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles in Time. You're not playing fucking... Don't yank my chain saying you're playing pin the tail on Donkey.
I was an 80s Turtles in child. Time. I was an 80s child, but we did have a pin the tail on the Donkey game available for birthdays. So... it is a thing.
Yeah, but it was the 80s. Like, that's I was in the 80s too. I know I played that stupid fucking game.
Yeah, they're probably playing video games.
In 1995, you have the internet. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. Second, I read on Degrassi Wiki that this is the only time that Terry and Craig ever talk.
Ever.
Well, it's supposed to be a big dramatic scene. Like, the way that they set it up is that Craig is sad and he's by himself, and then all of a sudden it's Terry that's there, and of course they can bond because she had a parent that died as well. But I'm like, Craig already had a parent that died. Like, he's up 2-1 on you, Terry.
That's true. I will say that, like, you do, like, when you have a parent who dies when you're young, because my dad died when I was relatively young, like I was in my 20s. It really does, like, if you meet someone who also has had a parent who dies and you've been through that at a young age when none of your peers have, or very few of your peers have, it is comforting to be able to connect with someone that way.
It's nice that, like, they had that scene.
I had a boyfriend whose mom passed away when he was 16, and, like, we were really able to connect over the fact that we had both lost a parent, because other people our age at the time, like, they just really could not understand what that was like. So, I mean, they never speak again here, but
yep.
But it is a profound experience that's very difficult to explain to someone.
And then one of the greatest scenes ever happens. Because Craig's like, I wanted my dad. He's like, I wanted him gone, but now he's sad. And she confirms it's because you loved him. And at that very moment,
squirrely Radish comes around the corner.
Radish comes around the corner. He sees them and basically, like, does the move where, like, he puts his heel into the ground and does a 180 and just leaves. He's like, fuck
this. He might as well have been going, like, cartoonish, like, oop, bop, doop, bop, doop, yep. Ooh, oh no.
Well, Terry's got this. Gonna go get a chicken sandwich.
Yep.
Daddy needs a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Could not give a fuck. Amazing.
So we're back out of the hallway with Drake and the crew. And we find out that I believe Paige came eighth place. And she thinks it was shallow. That she was so fixated on the king and queen when somebody like Craig is going through this. Drake realizes he's allergic to flowers in the lay.
Which is plastic.
Yeah, which is plastic. Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, they're not putting actual flowers around their necks at a fucking school dance. Like, when you get lays, you don't go to Dollarama and they're like, they're real flowers. Like, it's not a thing. Remember, this is a school that, you know, wants to put the cheapest food in the cafeteria because there's no budget for anything. They're not getting real flowers for the fucking dance.
I mean, in some ways, I buy that more, that he'd be allergic to, like, cheap Dollarama products. Who knows what the fuck is in that lay, rather than real flowers, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, because they're all bonding here, is this supposed to be the moment where, like, Drake and Spinner make up?
That's my assumption.
Only time will tell.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't add to this conversation.
Perhaps they realize that they have less problems. You know, like, their problems are small potatoes, and they can figure out that they can set aside their differences. I don't know, because I don't remember what happens in the third season. We'll see. There we go.
So they all have a moment of self-awareness. Ellie comes over and takes a picture of the losers. Uh-huh. Hey, losers.
A bunch of losers.
Then says it's front page material.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good. Craig comes back into the gym, and he and Ashley have the dance that they owe to everyone as the king and queen. He says, you can ask how it's going, how he's doing without him going psycho. And because she wants to ask, you know, how he's doing, because he's been really strange. Ashley asks him how he's doing, and he says better, and that is roll credits.
And what we don't see in this scene is they hold hands, they walk into the gym, they start dancing, and they get real close, And somewhere over on the bleachers, Manny is just sitting there, tears streaming down her face.
No.
He's in his mood again.
It's just so sad. Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole episode.
And we did it. We made it through another season.
Good job, Terry. No. You fixed Craig.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Terry.
I'm sure you'll be rewarded with many great storylines in the next season.
What could possibly go wrong for you?
Oh, no.
You're on the up and up.
Oh, no. Arlo used that word possibly. That means it's bad. Oh, no. It just can't win.
Lots of people with comments on the Degrassi Wiki. A couple of people saying they cried. People saying they love this episode. The guy who gave the insight in the last episode, where he's like, oh, that must have sucked for Craig or whatever he said. In this one, he says, his dad's death was a shocker. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Good job, guy.
Someone named Taddy Bojangles said Terry looked gorgeous when she was talking to Craig about their dead parents. So,
I mean, she looks gorgeous all the time. She has like beautiful, dewy skin. Like, she's flawless.
One person said that they actually wrote the word luau correctly and said, now that is a funny word. I don't think it's that funny, but sure.
Can you imagine just, like, taking the time to comment that?
Like, they thought of it, and then they had to run to their computer.
This is an important enough comment that I need to take the time.
This is the insight that people
immortalize this thought.
Yeah.
Arlo, I think you just summed up the internet right there. Can you imagine taking the time to comment on that? Yeah, that's the internet.
Aliens come down and they're like, explain the internet. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Luau. Funny. So, thoughts on this episode?
I mean, this is really a great season finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is definitely one of the stronger episodes. You know, there is a lot less sort of eye-rolling going through this episode.
This is where, again, like these two episodes and the last one, and I mean, we're still going to get plenty of like humor and stuff like that, but I find that the show is a little less juvenile. And, you know, this is like, you know, you still get some goofy shit, but this episode has very heavy plot lines, which we joked and laughed about the mm-hmm. whole way through.
All the live long day.
Yeah. And it kind of goes from here, but definitely a really strong episode. It's hard for me to get over that Craig looks like he's fucking 20, though. Like,
he looks 15 to me.
Are you serious?
I don't think he looks 14.
He looks like he's buying the rest of the cast drinks.
Okay. Well, I think one thing I'm missing a little bit from The Next Generation, and maybe I'm just not thinking of it because this is a really heavy episode or whatnot, but I'm kind of missing a little bit of the relatable content that we got from junior high and Degrassi High, in that like storylines covered in a serious way that aren't so incredibly heavy. Mm-hmm. So for example, like you like your friend, you make out with him at a party, but it turns out he just wanted to make out with you. He doesn't like you back. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is a really relatable storyline. And it's not super dramatic. It's not like someone getting raped. It's not somebody getting beaten by their dad. It's just really relatable. But it's not like a B plot that's like, like with all the humor and stuff like that. And I think in The Next Generation, I'm missing that a little bit. It's either like so ridiculous that it's not relatable, or it's like so dramatic that it's not. I mean, it's relatable to some people, of course, but it's a little bit less universally relatable. And sure. I think I'm missing that a little bit from The Next Generation season two.
I think like extreme storylines are easy, because now too, I'm not anything with TV, but you go, okay, yeah, extreme, like shocking. But those little things like that wouldn't matter to an adult, but when you're a kid, it really, really matters. So it's kind of getting in the headset of a kid.
Yeah.
And you can play it, like you can telegraph it to say this is how it felt, and you know how it felt because you yourself, the viewer, even if you're an older viewer or a kid of that age, you know how this felt, like the feeling of rejection or like being left out. Like, that's a really universal thing. But that's more, I think, maybe in writers' rooms, maybe is a little bit more like, that's a tougher needle to thread. That's a tougher selling point. Whereas you could just say, oh, okay, dad dies, kid goes crazy, car crash, boom, funeral, laughing, getting crazy. And that's an easy, that's an easier sell.
Well, and some of those dramatic storylines are really important, like, obviously, for, like, kids who have experienced sexual assault and whatnot, like, the Paige storyline. You know, those are really important to be there for those kids who are experiencing those things. But, yeah, I think I'm missing a little bit of those universal storylines that are handled with as much seriousness as you feel them when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I'm really enjoying The Next Generation, and this season was good and everything like that, but there's definitely a lot of forgettable episodes. Like, I was trying to think about what I'd say about this whole season, and there's a lot of episodes I can't even remember. Whereas the old school Degrassi High, Degrassi Junior High, I can pretty much, and it's probably because I watched it so many times, but I can remember most things that happened in every episode, right? So I find that's one thing that's different. Like, you talk about relatable things, like when Wheels' parents died, that created his character. That part was in his character for the rest of the show, right up until school's out, right? Whereas,
well, I guess we'll see how Craig does, right?
Yeah. Spoiler that I don't think it's referenced again. So I don't know. I just found, like I said, I do enjoy the show, but like you said, sometimes like stuff happens, it's heavy, and it's forgotten about, and then you don't go back with it again. Whereas, you know, the original Degrassi never did do that. He's like, it was always interwoven through that character for the rest of the series.
Yeah, and like just like little plot lines, like, you know, you're it's not Liberty in a Napoleon cape, you know, it's Melanie feeling uncomfortable about her breast size because she has to wear a bathing suit.
Yeah,
you know, like, it just, there's something missing for me in terms of the relatability to some of it. So I guess and that's not to say that I'm not enjoying the show at all. Like, I've always enjoyed it from the first time I watched it. It's just, it feels a little bit more sensational than the originals. And as such, I feel like it lost a little bit of that Degrassi charm.
No, you're
and
either.
I, in future episodes, I guess we'll see if they can recapture that.
No, you're either dealing with somebody who dies or you're chasing gerbils around the fucking classroom with your sexy teacher. Like, that's those are the two options.
So. Oh, if I had a nickel for every time that happened.
We're going to season 3 next, and we're going to be doing it pretty much right away. We start off season 3 with a bang. Does anybody know?
No spoilers.
Know?
No spoilers.
Ted, do you have any idea what's going to happen?
Literally zero.
Oh,
like, I honestly, because we had a little talk about this a number of episodes ago, saying, should I watch ahead? Like, should I binge it? Like, sometimes I'll be sitting home going, maybe I should watch a few episodes. No, this is the furthest I've ever been in the Degrassi universe where we are now. It stops at this episode. I have no idea. I see screen caps of, like, when you look on YouTube, and 301 has Spinner's face like, huh? And that's it. So if that's any indication, I guess
Spinner
gets a new haircut. I really honestly don't know.
So, like, do not look at any more pictures, because you actually might look at the picture and be like, what the fuck is that? Who's that? Because it's not what you think. But I specifically want you, and you'll know when it happens, want you to write down your feelings, and I want you to share them when we go through our next episode.
I will do that.
Please. Something for everybody to look forward to. Also, just a quick programming note. You know, we're usually twice a week. I suspect that over the course of the next month or two, it may be weekly episodes. I mean, we've been doing fucking twice a week. Like, that's pretty good. So if you have to wait a week,
a breakneck schedule.
Yeah, if you have to wait a week for between episodes, I mean, that's pretty good, too.
For the best podcast on your list of podcasts. Well,
yeah, it's okay.
I guess you'll just have to wait.
Yeah, don't hardly new ye us when we don't show up on a Tuesday with a new episode. We're still here.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Yeah. But we're still around. It just may be a little slower pace over the summer because it's the summer. And, you know, maybe one day we'll be able to do something else on a Friday. We'll see. Anyways, that's it.
And with that, and thank you, Ellen, and thank you, Arlo, and thank you, Barry, and thank you, Courtney, wherever you may be, out beyond the stars. we've had a good time here this evening. We will catch you in season three, sponsored by Just Came In. We are renewed for season three by one Rod Peeler. So Rod Peeler Realty. Look them up on Google. You will thank us later. So until next time, we'll see you later.
Peace out.
Bye-bye. Smiling and waving. Smiling and waving. Bye.
No, I just said I was going to my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, cut! Just to get to my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so good. I went crazy at the school. Yeah!